Father, as we pick up your word and as we study your word, Lord God, as we eat from your word, consuming the life that's within, Father, I pray that you would bring forth your revelation, your understanding, the depths, the nuggets, the treasures contained within your word, that it might teach us, refine us, prepare us for the days ahead, bring us understanding of the work you're doing in our lives. Bring us understanding of where you would have us go, into the depths of your bosom, into your presence. Thank you, Father God. Thank you, Father God. Thank you. I thank you for what you're doing. I thank you so much for what you're doing. In your precious and most holy name, amen. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Romans. We've been studying Romans for, I don't remember the date that we started, but I think it's 2 years, almost 2 years, haven't it? Hasn't it been almost 2 years? Maybe it's a year and a half. There's so much in here for us, and there's so much in here for the days ahead. The preparatory work of what God is doing in our lives, in the ministry, in our personal lives, our families, our ministry, whether it's World for Jesus, Cedarwood, Joel's Army, or any other ministry out there, God is doing a preparatory work in this hour. And I know that he called us to study the book of Romans because of the work he's done in us through this time. I can't believe we are on chapter 15. I just can't believe it. It's been life-changing for me. Life-changing. Romans chapter 15. I'd like to read here, Romans chapter 15, verse 1. We then that are strong ought to bear the infirmities of the weak and not to please ourselves. Let every one of us please his neighbor for his good to edification. For even Christ pleased not himself, but as it is written, the reproaches of them that reproach thee fell on me. For whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the Scriptures might have hope. Now the God of patience and consolation grant you to be like-minded one toward another, according to Christ Jesus, that ye may with one mind and one mouth glorify God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Wherefore receive ye one another, as Christ also received us to the glory of God. I'd like to stop there. The Lord has been, 2018 is the year of refining. He is bringing forth a new breed of believers, and I will say that every single week until the last week of 2018. Because the work he's doing in us is so critical for the days ahead for us to enter into the new breed of believers, for us to enter into that calling. It is a calling, this new breed of believers. It's a calling that he's placed on our lives. And this work that we're going through, we need to keep before our eyes, before our hearts. We need to take it to prayer. We need to press into God and find out what we need to do as His children to be ready to be among the new breed of believers. So every week, I will remind you of the purpose of this year. It is a serious purpose. It is a serious work that He's doing in our lives. I've felt it since He told me that at the end of 2017, as soon as the year drew to a close, I felt a shift in the Spirit. I felt it take place. And I knew this year would be a year of tremendous work in our lives. And so, in chapter 15, what do we learn about the refining? How do we behave? What is the outcome of this as a new breed of believers? What is our call? What is our commission? Verse 1. We then that are strong ought to bear the infirmities of the weak and not to please ourselves. Let every one of us please his neighbor for his good to edification. Now this word edify and edification is the same word used in Romans 14:19. It says, let us therefore follow after the things which make for peace and things wherewith one may edify another. This word edify is important because as a new breed of believers, we actually will be in a place of leadership. Those on this team, those who will listen to this later, we are among a new breed in the church because when revival comes through the church, we're going to have a lot of baby Christians. So the people who have been walking with the Lord for a great length of time, they need to be ready to step into a role to help prepare the new Christians, the new believers who will come in. And I'm telling you, if you're not ready, they're going to surpass you. Because we're heading into a time when God will get someone saved. He will deliver them, He will heal them in an instant because time is short. We don't have time for 20 years of inner healing. We don't have time for 50 years of inner healing. The time is short. And He is calling us to prepare ourselves to lead in the next season. When we edify, this is a building up, a constructive criticism and instruction that builds a person up to be the suitable dwelling place of God, where the Lord is at home. To do this, we promote another's growth in Christian wisdom, piety, holiness, and happiness. To prepare someone to be a dwelling place of God, a dwelling place. And in order to effectively prepare someone else, we need to make sure we are a dwelling place of God. We need to ask Him to continue the work that He's doing in us, the refining that He's doing in us, the weeding out of the things that don't represent Him. We need to make sure that we have allowed Him to have access of every nook and cranny of our lives. And if we do this, we do this wholeheartedly, we do this submitting to Him, submitting to His work, He will respond. Is it going to be easy? No, but I can promise you it's a lot easier when you lay it at His feet than if He has to jump in and start chiseling away. Romans 14:9. Sorry, 14:19. When we follow after, he says, let us therefore follow after the things which make for peace and which edify another. That word follow after, and we've discussed this before, but it's to aggressively chase, like a hunter pursuing a catch or a prize. Pursue with haste, earnestly desiring to apprehend it. Now, does this mean that we follow them around and say, hey, 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 I need to give you this message. Hey, hey, hey. No, they might actually get irritated with that. But when we have someone, when we move into a place in leadership, the Lord brings people into your path. The Lord brings people into a place where they're ready for correction. And when someone is willing to submit that to God and submit to that place of leadership, we can't be afraid to speak the truth. We are pursuing those things that will affect them at interfere with their ability to be a dwelling place of God. This is something we should be doing for each other. This is something that this team, this place of leadership, any leadership should be willing to submit to one another, because we can't always see our flaws. We can't always see those things that are hindering our place, hindering our walk. And there should be a place of trust, a place of love, a place of comfort, a place of reliance on one another, a place of love for one another that is so strong, so passionate, that we love them enough to reach into their lives and bring correction. And there should be such a love that is shared in this environment that we can receive that correction when it comes our way. Jesus walked with his disciples. He taught them. He trained them. He corrected them. He firmly corrected them when needed. Why? Because he was pouring into their lives so that when he died and rose and ascended, they would be ready to lead the church in the next season. So with all the love, all the tenderness, the same love that came here and died on the cross for our sins, took our sins upon him, that we might enter into relationship with God. That's the love that he brought forth correction to his disciples. That's the tenderness. That's the passion. That's the drive that he brought forth correction to his disciples. He shaped them and molded them. And I know I myself, when I've read the Gospels, I've thought, why in the world would they ask that question? Don't they get it by now? But see, those questions are in there for us to gain an understanding. When he would deliver a parable to the people, and they'd ask, why do you speak in parables? You know, why don't you just state it right out? Because they weren't ready. The masses weren't ready for the insight, the revelation. But the disciples who walked close with him, who walked in fellowship with him day in and day out, were ready for the revelation. That's where we should be. We've been walking with him long enough. We've been pressing into his word enough that we are in a place of revelation. Revelation of the kingdom. Revelation of what's coming. Revelation of ourselves. and what will interfere with being a proper dwelling place for His Spirit. Follow after the things which make for peace and which edify one another. This place of peace is a place of wholeness when all essential parts are joined together in harmony and they tie together as a whole. That's our mind, our body, our spirit. All pieces are in harmony and they tie together into a whole. Romans 15:2, let every one of us please his neighbor for his good to edification. And you say, well, does that mean we have to be a people pleaser? Or, because, you know, no, the Lord does not call us to be people pleasers. The Lord doesn't call us to be doormats. The Lord doesn't, he would not tell us to aggressively reach into someone's life if he expected us to be a doormat, to be taken advantage of. What he's saying here is that we need to accommodate the opinions and the interests of others. Let every one of us please his neighbor for his good to edification. So if we are to accommodate the opinions and interests of others, what does that mean, to accommodate the opinions and interests of another person? And I really want you to think about this. One of the things that I love about mom, some people, it's so funny because some people, they don't know what to do. But she is excellent at asking questions. You can sit and have a conversation with her and mention something and she'll start asking questions. And I think that is in such an important quality, because when we reach into the life of another individual so that we can prepare a proper dwelling place for God, we have to know that person. We have to know what is taking place in their life, where their interests lie, what their call is, what they've been brought up in, because we can't effectively minister to another human being if we don't take the time to know who they are, where they've walked, and where they've been. Now, there's evangelical things in nature. I mean, look at Billy Graham. Billy Graham has a crusade and you know, tens of thousands of people will get saved. He can fill a stadium. I remember when he came to Fresno a long, long, long time ago. And it was, you know, usually they take about 2 years. And they come in and they prepare the churches for the harvest. They prepare the churches in the community for the harvest. Because his call was evangelical in nature, and people would come to get saved, and they would bring people in from the Christian churches all over the community, and they would have workshops so that you could come down when they did the altar call, you could lead them to Christ, and you would have a place for them to go. Because we can lead them to Christ, we can give them a pamphlet, we can give them a Bible, but if they don't have a place to come back to continue to grow, the enemy will get in there. So their purpose was for the harvest to have a place to go, to be taught, to be edified. So they went proactive, realizing the importance of preparing a place for the harvest. So for 2 years, they would train the people, disciple the people, so that they in turn can be disciplers. Now when they came through Fresno, the Lord told Billy Graham to come to Fresno. We had 6 months to prepare That was some serious training. But their goal is to not just have the numbers of salvations. Their goal is to have people enter the kingdom of God. To people walk, have people walk with God, to have people grow in God, to have people be developed in God, and ultimately end up in the kingdom. Now, where he's calling us right now, this new breed of believers, and what will come of this time, because people will get saved, they will get delivered, and they will get healed. There's going to be a very quick growth in the kingdom of God out of necessity, because we've got to be strong in the faith. I look at people in other countries and they're facing persecution for their faith. They are already dying for the sake of the gospel. We've got to be ready for what's coming. Am I saying that in the next 4 years we are going to have that level of persecution here? No, that's not what I'm saying. I'm saying the Lord is giving us a season to prepare. Prepare for the harvest so that we can enable the harvest to grow in God and catch up. In this process, Romans 15:4 says, "For whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we, through patience and comfort of the Scriptures, might have hope." That word "remaining under," I mean, that word "patience" is to remain under. The comfort of the Scriptures is a personal urging. When we press into the Scriptures on an ongoing basis, that's why we do these studies. That's why we do Bible study. Apart from all of the other responsibilities we have in ministry, it is so important that we stay in the Word. And we don't just get in the Word, we dig deep into the Word, because it allows us to remain under the work that the Word does in our lives. The refining work, the purifying work, the cleansing work that the Word of God does in our lives. And if we don't remain in the Word, we become stagnant. I'm telling you the truth. The most important thing we can do as believers is to stay in the Word and stay in prayer. Because God will refine us if we'll do that. It's a proactive step in keeping the enemy from encroaching upon our lives. He said that ye may with one mind and one mouth glorify God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. That one mind and one mouth is to be of the same passion. Wherefore receive ye one another as Christ also received us unto the glory of God. Now, we've talked about that word "receive ye." That's an aggressively go after. We've talked about how Jesus and the life Jesus lived, and what Jesus did to bring us into the kingdom of God. And next, Paul moves into addressing circumcision. Now, we've talked about this before, what Paul is facing, what the Romans are facing, what all of the churches during this time are facing is the encroachment of the Judaizers, and they are trying to bring a mixture of the law and the faith. And they're trying to bring people back under the law. They're trying to bring them back under circumcision so that if they don't get circumcised, they will not be saved. And we all know that not to be true, because God had a plan for the Gentiles. He's been speaking about it in the Old Testament. We learned this in our covenant study. He has been speaking about his plan to bring the Gentiles in, grafting them in to the vine, where he would cut off those not producing fruit, and he would graft in the Gentiles. His plan was to bring the Gentiles in. And this circumcision, and Paul talks about circumcision, the circumcision that we are facing today, that they were facing, is a circumcision of the heart. Colossians 2:11 says, "In whom also ye are circumcised with a circumcision made without hands, and putting off the body of the sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ." 2:12, "We are buried with him in a baptism and risen with him in faith." Now, this baptism is an actual submersion. That's why people get saved, we get them baptized. I love that O'Day does that. He goes and he goes to other countries. He talks about JA. It's amazing. People come to a JA meeting and they get saved. And he will baptize them wherever he can. They'll go out to the ocean. They'll go out to the pool. They'll go to a bathtub. And he will baptize them into the faith, a testament of their salvation. Now, in Muslim countries, if you say you're a Christian, they may look the other way. But the minute you get baptized, that's when the persecution starts. Because they see you as a threat. Because you have made a public declaration of your faith, your stand for Christ. People think, do I really need to be baptized? Do I really need to be baptized? Think about that. If in the Muslim nations they do not see a Christian as a threat until they've been baptized, is there something that's missing if we aren't baptized? Jesus himself was baptized. Jesus himself was baptized. There's something that takes place in our lives. There's something that, and the Lord is just, I mean, he's really just speaking to me right now. There's something that takes place when we allow ourselves to be immersed in him. Truly immersed in him. I look at us and I look at the struggles that we faced. I look at the trials that we have endured over the last couple of years. And I know we're not alone. I know a lot of our Joel's Army people have endured tremendous trials. Tremendous trials. I know that those that God is calling to walk in the deeper places in him are enduring trials. But something takes place in the process of a trial. There's an immersion that takes place within us. As though we're stepping into that water and we are allowing ourselves into just to be completely immersed into the Holy Spirit. When we go through trials, and I got to say, you know, I haven't always gone through trials the right way. Let me just be clear on that. I probably still do stumble and trip around trials. But God is working on me. And every time I try to submit more during the next trial. But when we go through trials, even the testing of our faith, there's a work that God is doing in our lives. There is a cleansing work of the Holy Spirit that takes place in our lives. There's this effect of a trial on our lives that begins to allow the parts of the world that we've picked up to fall away. Like dead skin, just fall away. When we submit to him in times of affliction, when we allow ourselves to be baptized into the circumcision, that's a work of the heart. Something takes place in our lives. I've shared this before, but there was a time when I was hit with trials and I would get angry. I wouldn't understand why I was going through it. I wouldn't understand why me? I mean, I'm a Christian. Why would I go through this stuff? I think that's the funniest thing. I'm a Christian. Why would I go through this? Well, because you picked up some bad things while you were out there in the world, and God's going to have to clean you up now. It took a long time for me to get to that place and allow God to do the depth of his work in my life. It took a long time for me to enter into that pool of baptism and allow his Spirit to do the depth of work in my life, penetrating the hard shell, the part of me that would become angry or hurt with God because of the trial. He had to really chisel that stuff off of me. But he's patient. And his desire is to go through layer upon layer upon layer of the things that we've picked up while we were out in the world and pull those off of us. Why? Because what emerges is a vessel refined by the fire, ready to be used by God, submitted to him, a vessel that he can flow through. It's unhindered by trauma, by wounds, by bitterness, by jealousy, by strife. Where the Holy Spirit can just flow through us and minister to others. Flow through us and be a strength to others. Flow through us and demonstrate the life and the love of Christ. When pressures come, if we haven't allowed his work to be done in our lives, really allowed his work to be done in our lives, that's when we face the things of Galatians 5, 16, 17, 18, 19, 20, 21. Listen, this is the stuff he's trying to work off of us. Galatians 5, 16. Paul tells them, I say, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary to one another, so that ye cannot do the things that ye would. But if ye be led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revilings, and such like, of the which I tell you before, I have also told you in times past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. So when we go through trials, he's trying to work that stuff out of us. That stuff that would stand in the way of us entering the kingdom of God. He's serious about this. When I was reading through this morning, and Paul concludes that with the fruit of the Spirit, and I'm going to read that really quick. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. When we are walking in the fruits of the Spirit, there's no law that can be brought against us. When we are walking in the fruits of the Spirit, and as I was reading through that this morning, this is what the Lord told me. He said, I am trying to prepare in you a heart ready for my touch. And I thought, well, I kind of thought I was, doing that. A heart ready for my touch. I'm preparing in you a heart ready for my touch. And the new breed of believers will have a heart ready for his touch. And I saw him take his finger down and touch the heart. And this ripple effect began to take place in the heart. And it began to flow out of the body and onto those around them. Just like the ocean, when the ocean comes in and the wave comes in and the wave it builds, it comes in and it crashes into shore and it takes back and it cleans out the sand. It cleans out, smooths out the sand. I saw this ripple effect begin to take place because the finger of God came down and touched the heart. And he said, when a heart is so exposed to me, they can effectively flow in the fruits of the Spirit. When you have cleared away everything listed in Galatians 19 through 21, my Spirit, the fruits of my Spirit, can flow through you. Unhindered, without restraint. The Spirit can flow through you without restraint. That means this ripple effect of the finger of God touching our hearts, it flows into the lives of those around us. It flows when we're in ministry. It flows when we are discipling. It flows when we're praying for people. It flows when we're serving people. It flows without restraint. And what flows out of us is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. When we've allowed him to come in and refine us and get rid of this stuff that is of the world, the stuff that we've picked up, the stuff that we've needed to be immersed in his Spirit to cleanse us of, the stuff that we've needed to go through trials to strip away from us, to strip away the scales, the scars, the wounds, to strip away the world so that we can be completely immersed in him and rise up as a person who, when the finger of God touches our heart, what rolls out of us is a flow of the Holy Spirit without restraint. Our flesh gets in the way of ministry. And the Lord is wanting to move us into a place where our flesh gets out of the way and the Holy Spirit can come forth and do his work. Because it's not about us. It's about a move of God that will transform lives so completely, so wholeheartedly, so completely, that all they will want is more of God. Revivals that come forth in the days, the Welsh revival, the revival where those two little women, those two old women, they prayed for how long? A decade? For revival to come. And when revival fell, do you know what happened? People weren't dancing in the streets. People weren't flopping around on the ground. Do you know what they were doing? They were on their face before God, glorifying him, worshiping him, because he is the Lord God Almighty, and it wasn't about who prayed it in. It was about the Holy Spirit who came in and immersed the town. That's what
what he's releasing, a new breed of believers who come in and people won't remember our face. All they will remember is the Holy Spirit fell and they couldn't get off their faces. That's what he wants. That's the move of God that will transform lives. That's the move of God that will change the destiny of our youth. That's the move of God that will make people believe there is a Lord God Almighty. And he loves them enough to send his only begotten Son to die on the cross that they might enter into a relationship that actually matters with them, that has passion, that has drive, that he reached down into the earth to pluck them out of the clutches of hell so that he could love them. What is in us standing in the way of that move of God? Whatever it is, we've got to lay it at his feet and let his finger come down and touch our heart and the ripple go forth. That's what he's calling us to. That's what he's calling us to. That's the move of God that's coming. A move of God that is only God. Let him do the work in your life. Every day I say, God, do the work in my life. Don't let anything stand in the way. I want your love to flow. I want your joy to flow. I want your faith to flow. Paul was in prison when he wrote Philippians. In prison. In fact, most of his books were written in prison. And he said, I count it all joy to suffer for the gospel. I count it all joy. Whether I'm hungry or whether I'm full, whether I'm cold or whether I'm warm, whether I'm prison or in free. Because his flesh did not matter to him. All that mattered was the finger of God moving in and through his life. Oh, Father God, we just lay ourselves at your feet and ask you to have your way in us. Have your way in us. Clean out the garbage of the past and bring forth your Spirit into our lives. We cry out for more of you, but we ask, Lord God, we know, Lord God, if we're to have more of you, we've got to let you have your way and clean out the past. Clear the path for your Spirit to flow. Do your work in us, Lord God. Do your work in us. We can be a vessel of your Spirit. Let it come, Lord God. Let your Spirit come and immerse us. We step into it, Lord God. We take that decision. Yes, we are a threat to the kingdom of hell. We make a decision to be baptized, to be immersed in you. Because we are representatives of the Lord God Almighty. Oh, Lord God. Let us represent you in a way that leaves only the imprint of you in the lives we touch. Let it be, Lord God, let it be. In your precious, most holy name.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen.